The following is paid for by Ganem's Garden Center and Florist LLC. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WICC 600 or our advertisers.
Now it's time to find out what's growing in Ganem's garden. Here's Lee Ganem, the garden guy, from Ganem's Garden Center, Kings Highway Cutoff, Fairfield, on WICC 600.
Well, good morning. What a beautiful, chilly morning. We're going to be soon into the fall equinox, which is actually starts tomorrow morning at 3:50 a.m. So, and it's also Dandelion's birthday. So happy birthday to our favorite DJ on WEBE 108. So this portion of that Garden Guy is brought to you by Green Envy Mulch, the mulch that your plants are dying for. It's one of those One of the best mulches that you could put over your shrubs for the winter, around your roses. And, of course, when you start planting your bulbs later in October, it's a great cover for the insulation factor. So pick up a bag of Green Envy mulch. Your plants will thank you very much for it. And we enjoy having a sponsor that's been with us for a long time and for most of the year. So we're taking your calls, 203-333-WICC, 203-333-9422. Last night was a big night, another milestone in my life. The class of 1969 from Bassett High School, we met for our 50th reunion. My Lord, 50 years. Where did all these years go by, folks? You know, we were the very first class out of Bassett High School when they put the big addition on, because Bassett was only one building at that time, and we went through the whole construction phase in our last year, and a bunch of the folks that came to the reunion actually went for a tour. The building is in pretty good shape. I mean, I hope they don't knock it down. Rumors are they're going to build another high school down the road with a football field, etc. But, you know, our hearts will always be with that class and that school, because we were actually the first class to graduate out of there when it was finished. We actually had our prom in the gym. And a big thank you to Dr. Henry Rosenberg and Kathy Reardon. They were the two organizers. And let me tell you, these things are not easy to organize. They spent almost a year on this. So a big thank you. And it was just great to see all the folks that showed up. We had about 40 out of 160. And, of course, we have a number of people that have passed away. And our condolences go out to those families. They'll be very, very much missed. And we kind of wish that more folks had showed up. But you know what? Whoever showed up was really, really had a good time, and good food, and good company, and good talk, and it was just wonderful to see everybody. And the second big deal that happened this past week, we seem to have lots of things going on. We were recognized by the Chamber of Commerce in Fairfield for one of the sixth oldest businesses in town. The oldest, of course, is the Hatfield Insurance Agency, 114 years. Lesko and Polkey, my good friend over there, Kevin, 110 years, and Mr. Polkey's still there. I didn't know he was still around. And Henry Reed and Son Jewelers, 109 years. And Collins Medical Equipment, 88 years. And then we had 82 years. That includes our years in Bridgeport. And Abbey Tent and Party Rentals, George Zondi and family, and Mrs. Zondi, God bless her. She looks wonderful. And they are 63 years old. So it was just great to see all these folks and to be recognized by the Chamber. A number of dignitaries showed up, and we heard a lot of nice things about the town of Fairfield. We are very big on shop local, of course, and we've been pushing that with Mark Barnhart, our wonderful guy in Fairfield. So we want to thank all the people that came, and to the Brooklawn Country Club. They put out a wonderful meal. I don't know if you can go in there and have dinner, but let me tell you, the food was out of this world. So a big thank you to the Chamber and the town of Fairfield. We are so happy that we got bumped out of Bridgeport years ago. And it's funny, because all these businesses that are in Fairfield mostly started in Bridgeport. So when Bridgeport was the hub, for different reasons, everybody moved into Fairfield or somewhere in that neighborhood. So congratulations to all our people that received awards. And of course, Susan Bicevitz was there, and a few dignitaries, and we had a great time. And it was everybody went home early, because we're all tired. So But, you know, this is what you do once in a while. You get recognized by your peers, and we are very happy. Anyway, back at the store, we have lots of things going on, of course. Our grasses are in full plume. Now's the time to get out there and see which grasses you like. A number of them do very, very well in the sun. There's only a couple that do well in the shade, so just be careful where you put them. And we will guide you. And they really don't take a lot of work, folks. They don't take a lot of water. And speaking of water, we're very dry. Listen to Bill Jockman. We haven't had a substantial rain in quite a while. So hopefully this coming week we'll start getting some moisture. This is the time of the year when you get that nice dew in the morning. So if you want to put your plants in the ground, you need to still water them. And remember that 1-1-1 rule. 1 inch of water once a week, all at one time, and nothing will die. Everything is starting to go into reserve mode, as we call it. If you're looking for house plants, we have some beautiful house plants. We've been caring for them for the last couple of months, and we probably have the best selection around, because if you start looking at our competition, they have the same old stuff, and we like to bring in different material, and our man Gary and my daughter put a nice list together, and the material is just spectacular. So if you're looking for house plants, come check us out. Of course, we have mums. We have all of the fall items they're in, and of course, most of our Halloween stuff will be in this week. And you know, driving around town and seeing things that are in bloom, it's the morning glory finally kicked in. They seem to take a long time to get going, and I think the whole key is cutting them back and not allowing them to get really stretchy, because they will run for a long way, 20, 30, 40 feet if you let them go. We had one went right up the telephone pole one year, and it didn't bloom until almost October. So this is a good year. The other thing you can see out there right now are sunflowers, and the interesting fact about sunflowers, why do we call them sunflowers? Because they actually turn toward the sun, and if it's a cloudy day, they turn to each other. And if you want to sit out there and watch those flowers do that, that's why we call them sunflowers. The other big deal is arborvitaes. Arborvitaes are starting to show a lot of these brown weird looking things, but they actually are the seeds of the arborvitae. So not to be concerned about anything dying. The only thing I would keep an eye out for bagworms, and bagworms will they'll do a job overnight on these things, and you need to pick them off and burn them, or if you can't reach them, spray them with a spray that will kill wormy things. You don't want to put anything on there like a fungicide. You want to do an insecticide. So fall is for planting. This is the truism. It really is the time for planting. It's the very best time for planting, because you don't have to do all that watering. Just once a week until the ground freezes, and that's about all you have to do, folks. So we've done all the watering for you, so get in and get it. We have a beautiful selection of shrubs. I mean, if you're going to box stores, you're going to see whatever they have left over, where we are fully stocked. And we have everything from the trees to shrubs to fruit trees, anything you need. Our garlic is in. We have four wonderful, wonderful varieties that we've carried from our man up in upstate New York. If we like to keep it local, if we can. And most of them are the German red, or the red chesnick, or the German white. And those are all hardnecks. And hardnecks are appropriately named because they actually get a flower stalk or a scape, and when you get those scapes, you do want to remove them, because if you let a plant go, any type of plant go to flower, it reduces the size of the bulb. So you do want to eliminate those scapes when you see them. And of course, everybody has pretty much just picked their garlic, but now it's time to plant for next year. It's a little early yet. My guy up there at Fraser Farm tells me October 15th to November 1, depending on the weather, is the very best time. And that's usually about the same time we want to put our fall or spring flowering bulbs in. And a lot of folks are complaining about squirrel damage, and the squirrels digging up their bulbs and moving them. Well, the squirrels are storing up for the winter. So they see some loose soil and they see something, or they watch you and they watch you planting. They actually will dig those bulbs up. I remember I had a whole host of crocus in my front yard around my Japanese weeping maple. And in 2 years, they all disappeared, and they're all over the yard. yard because the squirrels pick them and move them. And this is why you want to wait until very late in the season when the ground is close to freezing before you put your bulbs in. We're taking your calls, 203-333-WICC or 203-333-9422. This portion of that Garden Guy is brought to you by Austin Ganim Landscape Design. What a great time to solicit my son. It's a great time to plan and plant for the fall. The material is, like we said, is just exceptional. And if you need something special, he has access to anything larger. So we carry the stuff that you can carry home pretty much. So eliminating crabgrass is still a problem. You do want to cut that crabgrass, as we spoke. And any of those perennial weeds, you really want to cut them. You want to get rid of those seeds. And the seeds are what the real problem is that continues on and on. It seems like they never go away. Just go back to garlic for 1 second, because I forgot we have also one soft neck variety, or it's called Italian red. And the Italian red is the one you normally buy in the stores. And you want to store up your white pine needles once your white pines start coming down. And, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of color out there, a lot of the burning bush and stuff. But if you can get access to white pine, store them up, put them in a plastic bag, put them in the garage so you can have them. And you can mulch over those garlic sets, and it does wonders for them. Of course, don't forget your azomite. Azomite is the key to those garlic to get nice big bulbs. So let's go right to the phone. Good morning. You're on the air with that Garden Guy.
Yeah, good morning, Lee. I'm calling about peonies. I have a large amount of peonies that are, you know, together. I'd like to separate them in, you know, different spots. When's a good time to do that?
Well, the later in the season, the better, because, you can actually, if they're dyed back a lot and you know where they are, just make sure when you transplant them, you put them at the same depth they were at in the ground where they were if they were doing well. And make sure you put some bumper crop or something in there to give them some over the winter food.
Okay, that would be now in the fall, right?
Yeah, you could do them anytime this month or next month, because they start to die back, and they probably have a lot of powdery mildew. Everything has powdery mildew, yep. So but you won't hurt them any. In fact, if you could buy roots or they call them eyes, a lot of the bulb companies carry them, and they are starting to ship them out now for fall planting. So it's they're pretty much on the on that edge where you can move them very easily.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The hydrangeas are still going strong. It seems like the only ones that are disappointment are the ever bloomers. And I only refer to the building across from Miller Nissan, where there's just tons of hydrangeas there, and there isn't a bloom to be had. And it's a tough year. But like I said, I had pruned mine back in August, which would be the correct time. So I wouldn't touch them now, folks. I would leave them alone. The only ones that you want to do any pruning or cutting would be any of the PGs, which are in full bloom now, and they are going from white to pink. And then if you do want to dry them, you could. There's a couple of methods. You can hang them up, or you could put them in a vase with some water, let them dry naturally, or if you could find some glycerin, that also works well. And keep in mind, you want to keep a can of that hairspray around, the one your mom used to use, because that Aquanet does a wonderful job of holding the flowerettes on those, and you can make wreaths out of those. You can just leave them in the house until they peter out, so it's not a big deal. A good sign of winter, we've seen a lot of forecasts. It's going to be a rough winter, folks, and Mother Nature is already telling us that by the drops of the acorn. Richie and I were just talking about oak trees, and they just seem to be dropping very early this year, and there's tons of acorn, and they're all right on his front porch so that he has to step on them all day. And the other things will be a lot of the nuts that are around. They are also dropping very quickly this year, and like we said, there's an awful lot of fall color out there starting to show up a little early because it's a little dry now, so if we get a little moisture, we should have a good foliage season, and we will keep track of that for you once we get some reports from up north. And, of course, winter goes from south to north, and spring comes from south to north, and winter goes from north to south. So pretty much around October 1, the leaves are probably all done in upper Quebec, and then it starts to move its way down and through Massachusetts. And if you want to see your foliage, you have lots of places in Connecticut. Connecticut to see. You don't have to go that far unless you want to make a day trip out of it. And day trips are always fun. So just check it out. There's actually a couple of sites you can go to on the web where they will tell you what's going on and where to go. So you just do want to get in there. If you're out there and you're raking your yard a little bit, cleaning up a little bit, and that grass is coming up, you probably have grubs. Or like at my condo, I walk around in the morning and there's all these holes in the ground, and that's from the skunks digging up the grubs. So if you do have grubs, check for them. Great time to apply a contact insecticide. It's the only one that we have. It's called Dilox. We actually need a lot of water behind it, so you might want to make sure you can get it down before a thunderstorm if we get one this week, or get out there and soak that ground so that it works its way right through, does its job, and dissipates into the soil. So if you still want to plant lettuce, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, kale, Swiss chard, you can still do a lot of this stuff. I have some beautiful broccoli rabe coming up, and it's actually the broccoli rabe that went to seed from the spring that I didn't harvest, and it's coming back like a champ now. But you could do short-term crops, a lot of the radishes and scarole. You could do scarole. You could do, even if you want to do parsley, you can still do parsley and basil in a container. And tomatoes, they're almost done, but a lot of them are still out there, and they're green, and a lot of folks do like green tomatoes and jar them up for different, like, pickling varieties and stuff. And, of course, hot peppers. All of a sudden, they came out of nowhere. We have tons of hot peppers and eggplant. So everything was kind of met to match, but people that put in a second crop of cucumber and squash are just starting to harvest now. And you still have another whole month. And if you look at a lot of the roadside stands, they still have a lot of vegetables out there that you can buy. And it's just, it's a hit and miss area. Of course, it's apple season too. So a couple of cold nights actually will make the apples a lot sweeter. But they say that the crops are going to be very substantial this year. We had a good bud set and we have a good cropping. So go out to your favorite farm. It's a lot cheaper to pick them, folks, than to buy them in the stores. And I actually got a few beautiful apples from a friend of mine down in New Jersey, and they're just they're Honeycrisp. And if you see Honeycrisp, you got to try them. They're kind of a cross between a Yellow Delicious and a Macintosh, and they just they're very, very sweet. And they're probably too sweet for pie. You really want something more like an old Rome apple or a Cortland apple, or my favorite is one from Pennsylvania, and now I can't remember the name of it, but I will think of it. But the other things that you want to do if you want to plant any fruit trees, this is a great time to plant fruit trees. We have a nice selection of them, and if you have any berries that you want to put in the ground, that's also a great thing you can do. So these things are just wonderful plants to put in. And the next best thing is you can do over your whole lawn now. If you want to renovate your lawn, like we talked about, renovating is easy. We actually have a wonderful sheet at the store and a fertilizer program, and we have all of the conventional fertilizers, we have synthetics, and we have organics. And it's a good time of the year to put this down, because your grass actually really grows this time of the year versus in the spring. And grass seed germination is much, much quicker. And our grass seed guy, Tommy Truffa, puts together a wonderful program of all different types of grass seeds that grow in this area that do very well. I mean, there's no use bringing in. And I see a lot of folks are calling up all the time asking for Zoysia. And Zoysia, if you like Zoysia, okay, plant it. But it's not really recommended by the state of Connecticut to do anything up here. It's more of a southern plant or a southern grass. And that's a cool season grass, what we grow here. And Zoysia would be a warm season grass, similar to our ornamental grasses. So if it goes off color early, first frost, and it stays off color until at least May. So, and keeping going back to the grasses for a minute, you're really don't want to cut your grasses back in the fall or the winter. You want to kind of leave them there. They'll give you winter interest, and they also if you cut them and the water gets in the stems, that's when you get those bald spots and those big clumps that you have. And the city of Bridgeport's famous for that. They run out there and they start whacking them down when they start looking a little off peak. So if you want to bring your house plants in, and everybody panicked last week when it got cold. Well, folks, it's not that cold yet. They they actually will live in Florida in 45-degree temperatures. So until they the weather forecast shows a frost or a freeze, and a frost is 32 degrees and a freeze is 28 to 30 degrees, you don't have to be concerned, but you should prepare them. And we would recommend that you spray them before you bring them in the house for the first for at least a couple of weeks before. We recommend a all seasons oil spray, which is probably the most organic thing you can spray on them. We use it completely around the store, and it does a good job. It suffocates things rather than having a chemical in the air. We don't want to get too many chemicals, and we're trying to get into that organic mode, and organic is in now. So there aren't a lot of choices. They're pretty much a repetition of product to product to product, but you know, we do have a lot of choices. Hibiscus, mandevilla, if you want to save them for next year, they're probably blooming like crazy. So leave them out until a good cold night or a good frost. It won't hurt them one bit. And the whole maintenance with those is to make sure you cut them back sometime in January, about 50%. This way here, they'll bloom off the new wood next year. And we also recommend spraying those with oil on a weekly basis to eliminate all of the insects that you may bring in if they got by you, and especially for citrus. It's very important for citrus. Plus, it gives them a nice shine, and the shine on the leaves is just spectacular. And well, most of them are going to lose their leaves, so don't fret. That's what's going to happen with them. And you, and of course, if there's no leaves, they won't need as much water. So don't go overwatering your plants, and you shouldn't be overwatering your house plants either. Keep a pencil around, do that pencil thing, or buy yourself a moisture meter, or learn the weight of the pot from heavy to wet, heavy and wet to dry and light. So that's when you want to water them, and you want to make sure you give them a good soaking. Have a saucer and take the extra water out of the saucer after about a half an hour or 45 minutes. A couple of weird things going on. Some of the plants that normally bloom in the spring are blowing their buds now. So some of the PGM roadies, some of the azaleas, they're kind of all off whack, and even magnolias. I've even seen magnolias in bloom. So just be don't worry about them. Mother Nature takes care of it. And keep in mind, this is the time if you want to stock up on your garlic. We have our garlic bulbs in, and the garlic sets look spectacular this year compared to what they were last year. We had a better growing season, it seems, and we have four varieties that we're going to feature this year. German Red, which has been a very kind of a real good hardneck, and it has a little musky hardneck to it, and it harvests early in the summer and it stores into midwinter. And then we have Red Chesnick. Red Chesnick's one of my favorites because it's a very hard garlic that I roast, and roasting garlic is very simple. All you do is just get some aluminum foil. I mean, they sell all these little contraptions, but all you need is aluminum foil, and put some take off the top, cut it flat, you've seen it in restaurants. And what you do is just put a little butter and a little oil, wrap it up, and throw it in a 350-degree oven for about an hour, and it'll come up nice and soft. And if you want to put that, add that to your garlic. Garlic mashed potatoes are wonderful, and a few herbs and a little bit of butter, of course, and you got a beautiful, beautiful dish. So German White's another popular one. It's extra hardy, and it does very well in the cold here. And it's a porcelain garlic, similar to all of the other. And they're also hardnecks. So, and the difference between hardnecks and softnecks, of course, are the scapes. And so when we talk about hardnecks, we're talking about the scapes. Those are the flower stalks. And most people will pull those flower stalks or cut them off and chop them up and put them in all kinds of dishes. And my favorite is an omelet. So, and then, of course, we have the soft variety or the softneck Italian Red, which is the one you probably buy in your favorite supermarket or farm stand. And those don't have scapes, of course. And those are the ones that you see braided. In fact, in Lebanon, they have them braided about 2 feet long, and they have them hanging all over the place. And be careful where you buy your garlic. Sometimes when the garlic is not so available, a lot of it is brought in from China. And there's a giveaway, whether it's Chinese or it's a good Italian garlic or a good American garlic. And, of course, that is dependent on the root and on the very bottom of the garlic, of course, it has a root. And if it's been scooped out, that's a Chinese garlic. And you don't want to use that in any of your dishes. You don't want to eat that because the Chinese will gouge that root out because they can't ship it, according to USDA laws. And they bleach them in Clorox. So Clorox should go into your cleaning supplies, not into your body. So make sure you don't buy those types of garlic. You buy a good one or you buy it in the jar if it's already done. If you want to plan cold frames, this is a great time of the year to start thinking about it. It doesn't take an awful lot to make a cold frame. A bunch of 8x10 or 8x12 cinder blocks close to your home. A couple of bags of bumper crop or our bumper crop growers mix is a perfect soil for that area. And you could do it from seeds, or you can do it with plants, or you can do it with both. So anything with a short season, like a lettuce or parsley, spinach, any of the root crops, you can do them almost all winter long. And if you cover it over with plastic and some PVC pipe, that will extend your season. And if you can get a little heat out there right near your home, if you have hot air or heat and you want to throw a little 3 or 4 inch tube out there, just be careful that you don't get too much heat, because during the day, if you have a glass door on it or a glass window, that's the very best. And make sure you have a stick. If it gets really, really hot, you want to raise that, open that that window so that you get some ventilation. Otherwise, you'll burn things. Believe it or not, the sun is actually closer to the earth in the winter than it is in the summer. So that is a consideration. So keep an eye out for fall pine sawflies. And they've been around. And this is when you start to see the branches moving with these green squiggly things, and they are the cousin to the spring sawfly that come around on pine. So keep an eye out for them, and they attack most of the mugel pines. They really don't hit the real large trees, but they do hit your ornamental ones. And the other sawfly that's out there, of course, on perennial hibiscus, that'll have to wait till next year. When you want to put a control on there as soon as they come out of the ground, so put it on your calendar. So always good to have stuff on your calendar. You should have a journal of what things did well, what plants did well, what didn't do well. You can do what I do. I write the temperatures down every day, what the weather conditions were. This way here, we know why things didn't do as well on September, 22nd, 23rd. And next year, you'll have a better idea of when you can start things, if you can make mistakes and you can correct them. And of course, that's the whole thing with gardening. We do depend on the weather, and when the weather throws us curves, it's almost like a catcher. We have to be ready to catch anything. So there's a nice correlation to baseball. Of course, go Yankees. I mean, these guys are really on a tear. So what do you do with all your tomatoes and vegetables? You can freeze them, you can jar them, or you can dehydrate them. There's a number of ways to do things. There's nothing better than sun-dried tomatoes that you can put on your pizza in January or any of your sauces. I mean, I keep tomatoes after I do that grill thing that we talked about where we put them in the oven. I put them in Ziploc bags and date them, and I put them in the freezer. And you can take them out a couple of days ahead, let them come to room temperature, and this way you'll have a nice fresh sauce. And if you make sauce year-round, of course, this is the best way, because you can't duplicate what you get out of your garden. You can buy all the canned material in the world, but you will not. Hydrangeas, again, we're going to talk about you can dry some of them now. If you want to dry them, of course, you can use glycerin, or you can use that old hairspray that mom used to use. So you can make wreaths out of them. There's a number of things you can do with the hydrangeas now that they're starting to turn pink, and you want to get them before they really get dry. Cut them, and it's not going to hurt the plants because they'll give you as much flower the second year with the pruning, especially the panicle type. Not so much the mop heads. And the mop heads, you should just leave alone for now. So you really don't want to do a lot of things with the mop heads until about November, and we can talk about that much later. The biggest weed problem that we see around are the fallopia, or Japanese knotweed, and bittersweet. Oh my lord, it seems like they're everywhere this year, and they're ugly in the beginning of the spring. They come up with a red flush of growth, and then they get these white flowers, and they're all over the place. They're in masses, and I don't think we'd have enough time in our lifetime to get rid of them all, but if they are near your property, make sure you keep them down. Cut them to the ground. Get them out of there. If you have to use a chemical to get rid of them, but whacking them all the time, keep whacking them until they give up on the green. They'll be fine, so make sure you maintain them properly and keep them under control. The other thing is kudzu, and kudzu has been around in the southern Fairfield County for a while, and most people don't recognize it. You can go to UConn. UConn has a wonderful website on invasive weeds. They actually have all the photos, and including our favorite poison ivy, which actually has probably the very best fall color. And fall color is exquisite once the cold weather kicks in. And when it kicks in, of course, then we know that it's really fall, and it's time to think about bulbs. And if you want to buy your bulbs now, that's fine. Buy them. But don't plant them quite yet. Put them somewhere where it's cold, or even refrigerate them. And if you do want to force some, of course, there's that whole schedule where you want to put them in the refrigerator and leave them in there for about 3 months or up to almost 4 months. And you can either pot them up, or you can put them in these little bulb things and put a little water and slowly bring them to room temperature, and they will start to flush out and they'll bloom. And of course, Easter, I think, is very late next year. So we're going to have the same problem with the growers, because they're going to have to manipulate the calendar a little bit. So a lot of new plants coming out, new cultivars from Proven Winners and all the big boys. We will have at some point in time a grower from right here in Connecticut, Price Corner Farm, Mark Salou, brother of Paul, who we add on, and he'll talk about some of the new plants for next year and the challenges of growing this material in Connecticut or anywhere in this country, because there's just so many magazines out there and there's so many people that are lobbying for the best plant, and they keep improving stuff, and they're really not so much of an improvement. They're more of a cultivar, and sometimes these cultivars, one comes to mind is Euonymus. The green and white varieties sometimes revert back to green. That's just the way it is, and that's how we get little new plants. They're called sports, and sports is when you get one really odd branch that grows out of a plant that looks kind of different, and they take that, they cut it, they propagate it, and excuse me, and they make a ton of things out of it. So this is the way we get new plants all the time. Japanese maples seem to be showing the same symptoms that we had in the past couple of years with all this moisture, where they start to brown off, and the leaves are, they get a little on the dry side, of course. And then we also have that cottony scale that's on them. And cottony scale sucks the juices out of the plant, and that's why the leaves kind of dry up a little bit. And you do want to keep an eye on them. There's not an awful lot you can do about them. Watch your watering, of course. Here we go. That's that watering thing all the time. And watering is a real big problem, and high humidity and rain can really raise havoc with our plants. And even though it makes some plants grow, and I watched the hibiscus, the perennial hibiscus, and they normally grow 3 to 4 feet, and this year they're 4 or 5 feet. So lilies, hybrid lilies, were up to 6-7 feet. So a lot of moisture sometimes will elongate material, and a lot of the rhododendrons and azaleas, you'll see what they call excessive elongation. So they've really exceeded the 6-inch normal growth, or up to 8 to 12 inches. And those are our key issues when it comes to these plants, that you want to make sure you do cover them over the winter to protect those buds, so you will have all the flowers for next year. And then, you know, a burlap and also a product called Willproof. Willproof is an anti-desiccant that we've been recommending for years. You can use both of them in combination. And also make sure that you have a good deer product around. And our favorite one for the winter, of course, is deer scram, because it's a granular, and you don't have to worry about the temperatures when it's too cold, too warm, whatever. You can put that product out anytime, and it does work under snow. So keep that in mind when you're starting to prepare for the winter time. Stock up on your supplies now while everything is in the store. Sometimes we run out of materials that we need because the warehouses are out of them, or the in fact some of the companies stop producing until the spring. So we do want to catch the right time in the fall.
Here's a big deal from Duchess Restaurants. Enjoy a long dog combo meal for only $5.99. That's right, $5.99. Sink your teeth into a juicy Hummel hot dog served on a fresh roll with crispy hot fries and a refreshing soda. You've got a delicious reason to stay out of the kitchen. At Duchess, all of their 100-plus menu items are made to order. And unlike typical quick-serve restaurants, their freshly ground beef patties, chicken, produce, and bread are delivered daily. It couldn't be fresher if you made it yourself, so don't. Visit Duchess today because the long dog combo special ends soon. Find a Duchess near you at DuchessRestaurants.com.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Now it's time to find out what's growing in Ganem's garden. Here's Lee Ganem, that garden guy, from Ganem's Garden Center, Kings Highway Cutoff, Fairfield, on WICC 600.
And we're back. And September is the best time to seed, feed, aerate, and apply weed killer. So you don't need a lot of moisture this time of the year, because God gives us lots of moisture. We have a lot of things going for us. We have shorter days, of course, and you can tell by the sunlight and the sunsets and the sun in the morning. So and you get the little dew in the morning. You look on your car, on your furniture outside, and the soil is much warmer, and that's the whole key, because warm soil brings on quicker germination of grass seed. For instance, Kentucky bluegrass in the springtime may take 4 to 6 weeks to germinate, where it may germinate in a week to 2 weeks in the fall, because it's just the ideal conditions. Of course, you do want to get a lot of the material out of the way that's going to get in your way. You want to get rid of those weeds, and cutting that crabgrass might be the very best way if you don't have an awful lot of it. We're getting into a timeline where you're not going to have enough time if you do a lot of these chemicals. And if you want to use chemicals, of course, there are alternatives like vinegar and there's a burnout product by Bonite. These are all a little bit quicker, more effective, and organic. So, or as we say, get them out of there. Just cut them out and make sure you don't pull them. If you pull, especially crabgrass, you'll bring an awful lot of seed up to the top, and you'll have a second growth, especially if we get a flush of warm weather. So we haven't had any blight reports this year on tomatoes, just a lot of funguses because of all the weather. We had early blight. The late blight would be disastrous. That's when the leaves turn black and the fruits turn black, and you'll know when you have it. And if you do, yank them and throw them away. Don't keep them around. So you just don't want to have that material around for next year. And don't put it, God forbid, in your compost pile. So you really want to don't do any of that the wrong way. You want to do it the right way. A lot of new products from the shows I've attended, and it seems like all the new products are just the same old products. There aren't any real advances in our business. We still have our favorites like Sustain or Espoma Organic or the Bumper Crop Organic line. So we have all the organics. And last week we spoke with Richard, and he likes that IPM. And IPM is when you recognize the different insects that kill other insects that are beneficial. In fact, my wife has these red worms on her Angelonia, and I still haven't found out where they're coming from. I've never seen red worms before. Usually we see a lot of green ones, and they just eat away at the leaves, but these just kind of hang around and just munch a little bit here and there. So I told her the best way is an IPM. Pick them up. off. She goes, well, honey, that's your job. I don't touch those. So I'm in the worming now. So there's different types of worming. And, of course, we're going to do a lot of worming. We have the new lawn patch, of course, which is that GrowTrax. We talked about it last week. It's a great, great product. It's easy to use. The folks that have come in and picked up one or two rolls of it, it comes in a number of sizes from very small patch areas all the way up to large areas. It's not that expensive, and it is permanent. It does have the seed, the fertilizer, everything you need all in one roll, and just roll it out, like we said, like wallpaper. You don't need any glue. Just wet it and forget it. So this is a good product. Put it out there, and they should do in, well in sun at the part shade. Grass growing in the shade is very difficult, so you don't want to really challenge Mother Nature, because there's too many factors out there that will give you temporary grass for a while, and then, of course, when the spring or fall come in, it looks good, but then in the summertime, it just goes out the door. So if you want to grow fruit, your own fruit, boy, oh boy, there's nothing like a fresh-picked apple or a peach or a pear off your own tree, and they're not that hard to grow. And we don't like young things in our life, especially in fruit trees, because we don't want to wait forever. So we have age-bearing fruit trees, very mature, very nice selection. We have apples, we have pears, peaches, plums, nectarines, cherries, and these are all next year's trees. So buy them now and save the price increases in 2018. All of the determination for next year is going to be based on freight and the way things are going in this country. Once the price of something goes up, it never comes down. So only the stock market comes down once in a while, unfortunately. But even then, you know, it's way up over our expectations. And we want to just take advantage of this fall for planting, because it is really a very easy thing to do, because it's a great time. You don't have to worry about watering so much, and the plants adapt so much better in the fall. They don't have to put up with the long summer. You don't have to put suntan lotion on them. You don't have to do anything to them. You just put them in the ground, water them once a week until the ground freezes, and you're good to go. Fall really is here. The dogwoods are fruiting, especially the cousas. In fact, someone on Facebook actually tasted the fruits of the dogwood tree. The coosa dogwood looked like little strawberries, and he said it tastes like pomegranate, so I'm not really venturing over there. And of course, a lot of the squirrels are running around now, and squirrels mean they're looking for their nuts to bury for the winter, and the folks that get out there and don't listen to us, and as soon as they get their bulbs from the bulb company they've bought from online, they tell them to plant them as soon as they get them, and then what happens? The squirrels go out there, they see the loose dirt, and they or soil, and they dig it up and they move them on you. I remember I had crocus for a number of years around a nice Jap maple in Trumbull, and the next year they were all over the yard. So the squirrels do get very confused. I only laugh when I think about the 3M commercial for those sticky notes where the squirrel was in this hollowed out tree and he was writing down where he buried the nuts so he would remember where they were in the following year. So that's what you want to do. You want to plant as late as possible. Even if the ground does freeze, you have plenty of time. We don't really get a deep freeze until normally December or January some years. So you can actually plant bulbs, and the later you put them in, the more beneficial they are. They will get enough root system on there, and it's not a problem. And hold off on that garlic. That garlic is one of those crops you should put in between the middle of October and probably the middle of November. The colder the better, and you'll also have time to stock up on those pine needles. We want that pine straw mulch that they have down south, but we don't really bring a lot of it in because it's expensive, and we have lots of white pine up here. So take advantage of a natural resource. Go up to some of the pieces of property by the hydraulic. They won't yell at you for taking those pine needles along the road. And of course, Fairfield University and a lot of the schools that have these large pines, or your neighbor might even have some. You really do want to get out there and stock up on them, put them in a plastic bag, put them in the garage, and wait until you plant your garlic. And then you want to put about a 4-inch layer on top of them, and 4 inches will be the key. And of course, a little bit of azomite is the key for that. Put it under the bulbs, so keep that in mind. Stock up on that now too. And a bumper crop, whichever color you want. We have red and green, and the green is an upgrade from the red, but they're both great products. So you just don't want to get them in there now, and make sure that there's plenty of nutrients for your plants and your bulbs. So it's pretty pretty much a cover all for everything. We're going to have pumpkins, gourds, Indian corn, corn stalks, hay, everything you need for your Halloween decoration will be coming in another week or so. Keep in mind, if you want Montauk daisies, they're always a really hard daisy to get the bloom, and we have a very good source down on Long Island, Scott of Pinewood Perennials, that does a great job on them, and we wait until they're ready. When he has them ready, that's when we stock up. So this is a great time to stock up on them, and they will bloom this year because they're already buttered all up. So if you're going to rent any of the equipment around town, of course, make sure you use somebody local. We like to use local folks like West A to Z Rental. They have wonderful equipment. They maintain it very well, and you can depend on them, and just book your material before you book your machines before the weekend, because everybody seems to be working on the weekend. So I don't know, you have to book early. Otherwise, you end up with a Home Depot product, and sometimes their equipment is not that good. Big news, next week, I'm leaving today for Lebanon to see my mom and family. And hopefully next week, thanks to Connoisseur Media and Danny Lyons, who's put a lot of effort into this, we are going to try to do the show live from Lebanon. So when you hear me next week, it'll say live from Lebanon. You'll say Lebanon, Connecticut. And I'll go, no, Lebanon, the country. So hopefully the internet connections, which is what we depend on. We actually tried this with my friend Tony Reno last February. It came through clear as a bell. And I'm going to have my man Richie in the studio. So if something happens, he'll play some Lebanese music, oldies. Hopefully I can send him a tape or two. But it's going to be exciting. It'll be a first for all of us here, and I'm so happy that Connoisseur is open to this suggestion, and we're just praying for a good internet connection. Most of the time we do okay in the old country, but particularly in Beirut, they actually lose their power for about 12 hours at nighttime. And Zahle, where I'm from, it goes out for about 2 minutes at midnight, and then they switch over to another generator, I suppose, and that's how we get most of our power over there. And the internet's not so bad. It's expensive, but everything's expensive. The food is expensive, but we will be giving live reports from there. You will be able to call in. Hopefully, we'll be able to address the calls. If not, if you want to email, I am accessible to email. You can email to that garden guy at GannumsGardenCenter.com. I will keep track of the emails, and we will answer the questions in their order that I receive them. Otherwise, we'll pray that we still have a good connection and we can still take the calls, and Richie will be 7,000 miles away wondering what I'm doing at 3:00 in the afternoon while he's having his breakfast over here. So I'll have to bring him back some Lebanese food. And of course, I do want to check on my mom over there. She is going to be 90, and you know, that's quite an accomplishment in this day and age, and especially in that country. So we don't have an awful lot of they don't have a great health system over there like we do here, and it's such a difference from this culture to, you know, most American people or people live in this United States have never left the country to deal with a lot of cultures. And there's so much cultural difference in other countries. And it's, I've been watching this 90-day fiancé thing where, I mean, my wife laughs at me and she goes, why are you watching this stuff? Well, just leave it on for a few more minutes. And it's fascinating that people can be the way they are on this show. And it's all about culture, and no matter how sad it is for a number of these things, it's all about culture. And if you don't understand the culture of another country, if you have never been there, you won't appreciate the good old USA. We have so much here to be thankful for. This is truly the place where everybody in the world wants to come to, and there's a number of ways to get here. There's legal ways, there's illegal ways, but we won't get into the politics of that. We just pray that everybody is on the same page, and they do things the way you're supposed to do. And that's just the way it is in this world. You have to follow the rules, and sometimes most people don't, and some people they do. So there's a fungus around on everything, it seems. seems a lot of the trees are showing a lot of fungus damage this year, a lot of the flowers. If you want to deadhead those Rudbeckia, it's a good time to do that because they start to look kind of a little funny. But if you keep cutting the dead flowers off or pruning them back, they'll keep going. And, of course, this is a big year for all those allergy sufferers. Ragweed and goldenrod are aplenty, and it's great for the honeybees. It gives you a darker honey, but it's bad for folks with allergies. And, of course, even the butter starts to change now. We talked about the different colors of butter from spring to fall, or spring to winter, rather. And, of course, on the other side of the world, it's just the opposite. And we're looking forward to a good summer fruit program out of the South American region. They seem to be growing a much better a fruit crop than we sometimes grow in Washington State and California. But it's really wonderful to be able to buy a lot of the fruit that we normally don't get here till the summer in the winter, because it's summer there and it's winter here. So it's just the way it is with the world. And it's great to have such diversity.
Pre-seeding was paid for by Ganem's Garden Center and Florist LLC, who was solely responsible for its content.
WICC Bridgeport, WEBE HD2 Westport.